Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is retired Senior Chief Rob Burrows, United States Navy Seabees, two combat tours in Iraq. And I want to say happy birthday to our nation and happy birthday to you. 245 years we have been working with this nation. We're talking about the freedoms and what it takes for us to have what we have in our nation, the sacrifices of our men and women, the blood that has been shed for those who have stepped up regardless of what was taking place to lay their lives on the line for what they believed. And so I am very happy to be with you this morning. My guest this morning is going to be Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas and Propane, a Vietnam veteran. And once again, the Northern California Veterans Museum is in partnership with the Vietnam War Commemoration. And we are proud to be able to be a part of this. It's across our entire nation. It's honoring our Vietnam veterans. And to be able to say thank you to them, it is for the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War. And so we are part of this commemoration to say thank you and to remember those who sacrificed their lives, those who gave their lives, those who served and came home with missing arms and legs and trauma to their bodies and have either passed on by this time or continue to live their lives with those injuries, along with the Agent Orange that was used during that time frame and everything else. And some people said, well, the Agent Orange, you know, that was really a bad situation for the Vietnam veterans, and they're the only ones that ever had issues like that. Well, I just want to remind you that during World War II, there was two atomic bombs that were dropped. And any veteran in the United States military at that time that were within the testing or the dropping of those bombs, those were called atomic veterans for a reason. And they were exposed to radiation. And they lost their lives due to the first series of cancers and things like that from the exposure. There have always been men and women who have sacrificed their lives and died of trauma that were used in war. Another example is the Civil War. The Civil War, the gunpowder was made with nitroglycerin. The nitroglycerin thins the blood. So an individual who took a light bullet wound or was injured by cannon blast or anything like that, they would bleed to death on a battlefield from a wound that we can save every single day because their blood was thinned. And the reason it was thinned is because when they put that packet of gunpowder in their mouth and they tore it off and they poured that gunpowder down their musket and then rammed it in there, a little bit of that gunpowder got in their mouth every single time. And when that nitroglycerin got in their mouth, it caused their blood to be thin, and they were either scratched or they were cut or they took shrapnel, anything along those lines, and they would bleed out right there on the battlefield because the technology was not there to stop that bleeding. It was not there to be able to let them know what was taking place and why it was happening like that. Our men and women in uniform that have served this nation have been dealing with these issues from the very beginning. And so what is so important right now that our men and women who are serving around the nation have the greatest medical capability that the world has ever seen, because it's given them the opportunity to be able to have their lives saved, for us to be able to know how to stop bleeding and tourniquets and to be able to help them with that trauma, be able to use the helicopter, the dust off, to be able to get them to the surgical fields immediately into the fields, into those hospitals, and for them to be able to save their lives. And that's one of the reasons that you see so many veterans from the global war on terror since 9/11. Who have are missing a leg, or they're missing their arms, or anything along that line, and they're still alive. They're still moving on. They're quadriplegics, and it's a tragedy that they have lost that portion of their body, that portion of their lives. But I want to say thank you to those veterans who continue to step forward and live their lives to the best of their ability, even though they've come back with the trauma of war. And so when we look at our birthday of July 4, 1776, and then we continue to look at the freedoms that we have of 245 years of this nation, the freedom that we have, has come with the sacrifice and the blood of these men and women who have served. And when they come back, not just with physical injuries. They come back with internal injuries, with adrenaline things that change their hearts and their livers and their gallbladders and their diabetes inside the cell structure of their bodies. And they may not get a purple heart for the damage that they come back with, but they suffer every day to try to live their lives with these different internal injuries and these different things that take place. And once again, our nation, the VA system, doesn't recognize those. If they get into the system at all, the system does help if they can seek that medical attention. But these men and women serve their lives mostly on a quiet basis, trying to survive on a day-to-day basis, dealing with relationships at home, dealing with the relationships with their families, dealing with their own mindsets, coming back from the PTSD in their minds concerning either combat or extreme combat or operational tempo, where they're at, where they served, what took place, the loss of friends, the loss of leaders, the loss of fellow buddies while they were in service, even if they weren't in service and it happened in the United States or wherever. Those are traumatic situations that they would not have been involved in if they weren't wearing the uniform of the United States military. But when we put that uniform on, when we wear that uniform, I did 23 years in the United States Navy Seabees, served all around the world in the South Pacific, wherever we did our building. And so we knew that when we put that uniform on, that there was an entourage of items and things that were going to come along with it. Some men and women join the military and they do 20 years and they're unscathed. They never have issues. They never get deployed. They never find themselves in situations that dictate the control of their life or their mental thought process and things along those lines. But then there are others who are subject to that 24/7 wherever they may be. And those individuals deal with those. And many of them, when they come back home, if they don't have that support, they take their own lives. They've gone through combat. They've survived the thickness of bullets flying past and IEDs blowing up around them. Or maybe even enduring gas attacks in combat situations. But when they come home, if they don't find that they have that support team, they don't have their buddies with them anymore. They don't have maybe a family member. They come home and they get a divorce, and now they're by themselves, and they don't know what's going on. They don't know what to do. And so they take their own lives. And that's the tragedy also, is that when they come back, there's not a support team. There's not a support program, even still today with our VA, to be able to help these individuals. A lot of times these guys finally find out 3 or 4 years after they've come home that there's a support group, but there's never anything for them when they walk out the door of the military. And many times when they come back from that combat situation, they're kicked to the curb. I know that when I came back and the active duty Navy no longer wanted anything to do with us or our situations with our help, we were kicked to the curbs like a spent round. A pile of brass laying on the ground that's not even recyclable. And so that was one of the things that was most disheartening to me when I returned back from Iraq, was that lack of support and that lack of the opportunity to be able to take care of that. But I focused my attention on helping other veterans because I had other buddies that were having situations. And I saw younger troops, as I was still serving at that time, that were going through these situations and became a counselor and worked with these individuals and put my arm around them and said, let's find a solution to the problem that you're having right now. Let's find a direction we can point you in where you can get a place to live. You're not sleeping homeless on somebody's couch. That we can get you an apartment because you lost your apartment because you haven't been able to establish a job yet. So we can get you a car because they took your car and you couldn't make the payments because you don't have a job right now. It's an escalation of dominoes falling when there's a situation and somebody needs help and they're trying to have help and there isn't help available or they don't know how to reach out to that help, especially after they've served their nation faithfully and they've come home and expect to find some help or some type of advocacy. And then they can't find that. And once again, that is why with the Northern California Veterans Museum, we have Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services to step in and to help with this program as we move forward for veterans that are in need in our community. And we have veterans that call us from all over the state of California and either from other states trying to find out what the opportunity is. And then also through our Battlefield Expressions with our PTSD art therapy that has been very, very successful. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260. Or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
You are invited to participate in the 16th annual 4-H FFA Community Barbecue, which will be held Saturday, July 10th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. The drive-thru event includes your choice of lamb, pork, beef, or goat, with corn on the cob, barbecue beans, coleslaw, bread, and a drink. Tickets are $10 and are available for pre-sale from 4-H FFA members, the 4-H office, and Muse Trucking, or can be purchased at the barbecue. Please join us in making this a successful event.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more, right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Good morning. Once again, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. That is God Bless America by Martina McBride. And she does such an awesome rendition. You know what? I love this nation. I loved it enough to serve 23 years. And it is important to me for us to remember that this nation would not be what it was if it wasn't for the influence of God in this nation and for those who have sacrificed once again. Jesus Christ sacrificed for us in our lives. Amen. To give us freedom. And the men and women of our nation, of our military, sacrificed their lives for this freedom that we enjoy in our nation every single day. It's really easy for some people to just show up and to disclaim this nation, to talk negative about this nation, to find fault with it every time they turn around, to blame it on other people. And my suggestion is to this: if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And our military men and women, when they step up to the line and they serve and they sacrifice for this nation, our police officers and our firemen, our law enforcement who step up and they make a difference every day on the streets, keeping peace and be able to protect us in our neighborhoods, they are part of the solution. And they are not part of the problem. And so I want to say thank you to all of our first responders. We want to say thank you to all of our military personnel. We want to say thank you to those who serve this nation and those who are serving in our stead right now around the world. As those men and women are now coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, as they retreat, we are giving them our prayers and our blessings that they can make it out of there, those that are coming back, and they can go home and they can try to live their lives in some type of a normal manner. And it is so important. I don't agree with what's going on in Afghanistan as a veteran and one who served in Iraq. I believe that we're setting ourselves up for failure and we're setting the nation, Afghanistan, up for more killing on their own pills with their own people. And and history has shown us that with Syria and Iraq. But we're not going to go into that today, because today we're honoring our nation and we're talking about positive solutions and positive things that are taking place. We want to remind you that the Northern California Veterans Museum is bringing the Wall of Remembrance, the 9/11 Wall, the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. And it will be at the Northern California Veterans Museum property at 4659 Ronda Road. And it is coming into town on the 28th. We will be opening the gates at about 6 o'clock in the evening on the 28th of July. And we'll be there for 4 days until August 1st, which is Sunday. And during that time, we're going to be displaying all of the art from the Battlefield Expressions art program from the different people and the family members and the veterans. And if you haven't driven by the property and you go out there, myself and the art instructors and some of our volunteers have painted a mural on the building. It's 20 feet tall and 50 feet long. It's the entire side of the barn on the north side. And it is a mural of the 9/11 towers, the Twin Towers and the city skyline of New York and the American flag behind it. And it says that we will never forget and we will honor those who have sacrificed. And that is part of our tribute to the Wall of Honor. It is a tribute to our veterans. It is also a tribute to the global war on terror, for us to remember at the 20th anniversary of this event. It is so important. We have two generations of kids that have been born and grown up, and after 9/11, they don't even know, they're not even teaching it in the schools. What's 9/11? They have no clue. This is an opportunity for us in the community to invite you to come out and to look at the Wall of Remembrance and to look at the large mural that we have put together for the Twin Towers. It's an opportunity for you to come out and to see the art that has been painted and drawn for the remembrance of these different situations, but also for the healing of the people that have been involved in the program. The program, like I said, has been very successful. Everybody that has participated has just, they've said thank you multiple times, and they've raved about the opportunity to be able to come in and to be like-minded with individuals who are also seeking healing in the situation with the war and with families and with situations that are taking place, and moms with kids who are Blue Star moms who their kids are serving right now. And so it's so important for us to continue to keep these positive solutions going on in our community, because there are very few opportunities like this across our nation. And we are thankful to be part of that solution, honoring our veterans and their families here in Shasta County and Tehama County and the surrounding counties, because these individuals come from all over. They're not just from Shasta County. Once again, the Wall of Remembrance will be here at the museum property, and that will be July 28th through August 1st. That Saturday evening on the 31st, we're going to have a gala event. It'll be a type of annual dinner event, and it is open to the public, but we will have guests that are coming. And when you come and you purchase your ticket, you'll get an automatic membership for the museum, so you can carry that and be a part of that as we continue to grow and as we continue to move forward in our community to honor these veterans. And also, with the wall that's going to be there, we will also be able to make sure we are still a part of the Vietnam War commemoration of the Vietnam Wall, 50-year commemoration. And we are a national member of that. We are a national partner, and it's a privilege for us to work with Washington, D.C. as part of the 50th Anniversary Commission and to be able to honor our Vietnam veterans. We will be having a ceremony that Sunday morning. That Sunday morning at 10 a.m. will be a ceremony to honor our Vietnam veterans. And I want to read to you the commemoration objectives. Number one, to thank and honor veterans of the Vietnam War, including personnel who were held as prisoners of war or listed as missing in action, for their service and sacrifice on behalf of the United States, and to thank and honor the families of these veterans. Number two, to highlight the service of the armed forces during the Vietnam War and the contributions of federal agencies and governmental and non-governmental organizations that served with or in support of the armed forces. Number three, to pay tribute to the contribution made on the home front by the people of the United States during the Vietnam War. To highlight the advances in technology, science, and medicine related to military research conducted during the Vietnam War. And five, to recognize the contributions and sacrifices made by the allies of the United States during the Vietnam War. If you're a Vietnam veteran, I just want to say thank you this morning for your serving our country. And I want to say welcome home, because there was so much controversy that took place. I was just a kid at that time. I was about 13 years old in 1975. And I saw what took place. My brother was a Vietnam veteran, and I saw what took place. And as a kid, I didn't know, I didn't understand a lot of what was going on. The war scared me. And what scared me was that my brother was gone, and I didn't know where he was, and I didn't know what he was doing. But it instilled in me the fact that when your family is serving, that you love them wherever they're at. And you continue to promote that. And when they come home, it's a homecoming. We want this to be a homecoming in our community. We want our Vietnam veterans to come. Well, we have the Wall of Remembrance there. Of course, the wall is for the global war on terror, but the ceremony is for our Vietnam veterans. It's part of the healing process. It's a part of a handshake. It's a part of a hug. It's a part of a welcome home. You're part of our community. And we appreciate you. Sorry I'm breaking up a little bit, because that's how much it means to me, especially after doing two combat tours in Iraq. I can't relate to where they were at, but I can relate to what they experienced because of what we saw and what took place in Iraq. And so we want to remind you that this ceremony is open to all people. It doesn't matter if you're a veteran. It doesn't matter if you're a civilian. We want you to come and be a part of this. And it's free to the public. After the ceremony, there will be a free luncheon for all the veterans. If you're not a veteran, you can buy your own lunch, but we are supplying free lunch to the veterans. And also that morning at 6 a.m., actually it starts at 5 a.m., we're going to have a sunrise service. The wall sits right on top of the edge of the hill, which looks across the valley at Mount Lassen. And it is one of the most spectacular views that we have on the property. And we will be out there for that 5 o'clock service in the morning as the sun rises over Mount Lassen. And we begin that day, the last day of the wall, but that day of healing for our Vietnam veterans. And so it is just a fantastic opportunity, once again, for us to bring this to our community and to make a difference of being part of the solution. And even though it's been 50 years, it doesn't matter, because we're still honoring those that gave their lives. We're remembering, and we're saying thank you to those that are still with us. This morning, once again, my guest is Chuck Kenny. He is the owner of Shasta Gas Propane. He is a Vietnam veteran. He was a pilot during the war. And he is going to be our guest speaker at the ceremony that Sunday morning. That is August 31st, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And so good morning, Chuck. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you for being a part of the program for our Vietnam veterans and for the commemoration for your fellow brothers and sisters who served during that time frame.
Well, thank you very much. I look forward to the opportunity.
We are going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, and we'll discuss more about this as we go.
This is KCNR Radio, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com with Carl and Linda Bach.
Greetings, North State. Just a reminder here to be sure and tune in to Common Ground Radio Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. You know, we have much more in common with one another than we normally recognize, but fail to see this thanks to our polarized media that deliberately divides us and demonizes the other side. Common Ground Radio is your progressive call-in talk show for the North State, right here on Radio KCNR, where we seek bipartisan agreement on many issues affecting all of us using respectful, fact-based dialogue and starting for change from the progressive side of the street.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Donnie Smith. The town of Delta was established by the California and Oregon Railroad in 1884 at the confluence of the Sacramento River and Dog Creek. Railroad officials turned the site into a temporary railhead terminal, laid out a town site, and gave it a more dignified name of Delta because of the similarities of the town site terrain and the Greek letter Delta. Redding and Shasta merchants flocked to the area to open stores, believing it would be another red-hot railhead town like Redding. Delta soon thrived, but almost disappeared as fast as it had appeared. What little remained became a stopover for steam engines to take on water for the rest of the climb through the canyon. Delta still exists today as a very small, quiet community. This moment in history was brought to you by KCNR and Shasta County historian Dottie Smith. For more stories like this, find Dottie Smith on Amazon or at the Shasta Historical Society.
Sky, forever waiting.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that is America the Beautiful by the United States Navy Band. And, once again, I love this nation, and it is a beautiful country that we live in. And if you have never been outside the United States, it is the greatest place in the world to be. Been all over the world, been all kinds of very
hostile places. Yes.
Third world country doesn't describe some of the places that we've been. And so, especially with the society and with where the people live and the health and the water and the lack of water and fresh food and things like that, we are so blessed in this nation that our poorest people are better than some of the richest people in other nations. And yet we don't even associate or recognize that. And once again, our guest this morning is Chuck Kenny, Shasta Gas Propane, Vietnam veteran, and going to be our guest speaker for the 50th commemoration of the Vietnam War during the Wall of Remembrance when it comes in. And once again, thank you for being here this morning, Chuck.
Well, thank you again for the invitation. And I appreciate it.
Yeah, I just want you to talk a little bit more about, I want to talk to you about what our 4th of July means to you, as a Vietnam veteran and as a business owner in our community and as a lover of our nation. I want you to talk a little bit about that and a little bit about your Vietnam service, and then we'll talk a little bit more about your other program toward the end.
Okay, so as a way of full disclosure, I have to admit that I was one of those Vietnam veterans that came back, actually landed at Travis Air Force Base, and although no one ever spit on me or any of the guys that were on my flight coming back, I got a cab over to San Francisco Airport, and there they were handing out anti-war literature and calling names. There's a bunch of MPs around the airport. That was not to protect those people. It was to keep us, it was to protect those people and to keep us from thumping up some of those war protesters. So I have to admit that for a number of years, I was very disappointed in this country. One of the things, of course, that helped me turn my attitude around was I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior after coming back from war. I just thank God I didn't get whacked over there, because that would not have been a good situation.
No.
But
he had other plans for you.
But for a number of years, I battled an attitude problem, not necessarily with my country, but for the way that us veterans were treated when we came back. I have to tell you now that, in fact, if anyone drives on Deschutes Road just east of the outlet stores in Walmart in Anderson, if you drive on Deschutes Road, you look at the office of Shasta Gas Propane, and we hung up a 10-by-15-foot American flag off a couple of cranes that we have in our yard down there, and we are very, very proud of the United States of America, and we love this country.
When I was in your other office the other day, I saw those large paintings on your grass out front.
Yes,
those are awesome. Patriotic,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, my daughter has a friend that does those, so yeah, we like to decorate and show off our love for this country.
Well, you know, and that's a very remarkable statement for an individual who went and fought in the Vietnam War, saw what they saw, came home and was dealing with those items in your life and what you saw and things like that. But then you found the opportunity to find Christ. and how important that is, that it completely changed your life and your attitude.
It did indeed, and that is one of the reasons that my wife and I also have been married for 56 years this November. The Lord is very gracious to us, gave me one of the toughest women that I know of for putting up with me, but she is very gracious, and when you have Christ in the center of your marriage and the center of your life, it heals a lot of wounds and problems.
And that's very, very true. It's something that we could offer anyone in that opportunity.
That's quite true.
In their lives, and our, especially during right now, there's so many people that are traveling around in their lives right now that are lost, and they don't know that the hope that we have is in God.
That's exactly right. Exactly.
So thank you for talking about that. I think it's really important and critical that we share that. So tell us a little bit more. You were a helicopter pilot when you were in Vietnam, and some of the things that took place that you would like to share with us.
Well, when I arrived in Vietnam in May of 1970, we were authorized at that point to be in Cambodia. So actually, my first 2 months flying in Vietnam, I was actually flying into Cambodia every day. And it was funny, when I arrived in country, they give you what they call a dream sheet. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? I said, I'll go anywhere but the 1st Cavalry Division. I, of course, ended up right there at the 1st Cavalry Division. I got into the 1st Cav. I said, I'll go anywhere but the 1st of the 9th. Those guys are crazy. They are out on the tip of the spearhead. I ended up at the 1st of the 9th. When I got there, I said, I'll go anywhere but Bravo Troop. It's red clay, muddy and dusty, muddy in the monsoon, dusty in the summer, anywhere but Bravo Troop. Yeah, I ended up at Bravo Troop. And, of course, I didn't learn by then, so when I got to Bravo Troop, I talked to Major Jolly, and he said, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, I'll fly Slicks for 6 months, and then I want to fly Cobras. Yeah, shoot, flying guns, that's really fun. He said, hey, First Sergeant, we got another scout pilot. So my job for 9 months while I was in the troop was to hover around at treetop level, try to draw enemy fire.
And get shot at.
And get shot at. And when you do, then you know where they're at. And so I was the bait, and then I had a Cobra helicopter circling overhead. And so I was a scout, and he was the gunner. And so I took full automatic weapons fire 22 times. By the way, I have to tell you, until I went back to Vietnam in 09, I never shared any of these stories with someone that had not been in the military, because I figured that they just would not understand the situation. But when I went back, the Lord changed my heart, and so now I'm able to share that with those who maybe don't understand the situation with military.
Chuck, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're sharing Perez Carrillo Trilogy. This gift set is the pinnacle of years tirelessly dedicated to the perfection of cigars. Rating 95, 96, and 98 by Cigar Aficionado, these three cigars have put Ernesto Perez Carrillo at the top of the industry. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51. In a Jefferson state of mind.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Listening to Battlefield Expressions, and our men and women who serve this nation give their best for each of us who serve here back at home, are the Americans that never serve around the world. Your freedom and your efforts and the blessings that you have are because others have given to you, and that comes back to those who sacrificed their lives. Part of the program, Chuck, that we've talked about is the Vietnam veterans who have given their lives and were lost there in the battlefields of Vietnam, and you're part of a program to retrieve them.
Actually, yes. Beginning in 2009, that was my first return trip, and I just went as a tourist to see what the country looked like then or now. And turns out I was on a tour with about a dozen other veterans that had actually been in a very hostile combat insertion in the Ashaw Valley up in I Corps. And unbeknownst to me, they were actually looking for three infantry MIAs that were left there in 1968. While we were on the site, though, we went just a quarter mile around the corner, and we actually discovered the crash site of a light observation helicopter, a Loach, which was the kind that I flew in 1970. Ironically, it was the same Bravo Troop 1st of the 9th 1st Air Cav Division Loach that was lost in 68. So we're looking for three of the crew members on that bird. And so we actually found some parts to the bird and found some parts to the flak jackets that some of the crew members may have been wearing. We turned that into the Department of Defense MIA Accounting Command, and so they put it on the list to excavate. They've been excavating for the infantry guys now for a number of years, and they've covered quite a bit of ground. But I think it was just last year, possibly in 2019, in fact, I think they started excavating for these helicopter crew members. And so they now have an area about 50 yards wide and almost 100 yards long going up and down a very steep hillside. They're down about 3 feet deep, and a lot of that digging is by hand. They can't get equipment in there. And so they're down about 3 feet deep. They have sifted all of that dirt and found a bunch of helicopter parts. But most recently, they actually found about a 3 to 4 foot section of the helicopter rotor blade, the main rotor blade. We know we are at the right elevation, the right depth to find human remains. Maybe we'll have to dig a little bit deeper because oftentimes they would simply throw the bodies into a bomb crater, which was 3 to 6 feet deep, and then kick soft dirt on them and then get the dead bodies off the battlefield.
Right.
And so
that was the Viet Cong or the Vietnamese?
The Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese Army would do that to American GIs. And so we have narrowed it down. We know where the Loach crashed. We know the depth that it is at with all the erosion and whatnot through, you know, 50 years after the war. And so we know we're at the right depth. So now all we have to do is keep digging until we can find some human remains. And then we will repatriate them, and their families hopefully will finally have some closure.
I think it's so important that this opportunity, this program, has been brought around for that to take place. And I think it's really unique that you are here in our community and that you have become a part of this program going back. And I know that when you go back and you're with the team and they're doing that research and they're doing the digging in those items, that's got to be very fulfilling for you, because it's always kind of a little bit that the edge of your heart, because if you find that individual, you're there. It's the finding the lost brother. It's bringing back that individual and the healing and the closing for that family who lost that particular person.
That's exactly right. The fact is that they don't want us old guys getting in their way. They are very...
You old guys?
Yes, old guys. You know, it's too hot and humid, and they don't want us digging in the dirt. So they've got young active duty military that volunteer for those trips.
That's awesome.
And so we, with a particular group that I travel with, have kind of an inside guy in Vietnam that was a former North Vietnamese. He was trained in the police force and whatnot. So he has some keys to the backwoods areas, sure. And he'll go in and do research for us. And then we also, it seemed like every time we go now, we get another heads up from another unit. Hey, we were in certain area. If you're over there, do me a favor and go check this area out. And the last time we were there, we in fact found another Loach crash site. And so we hope to get that one on the list to be excavated also.
What I would ask you to do is because you are going to be our guest speaker for the Vietnam ceremony, maybe you could give us some information and we could go ahead and make copies of that. Because I'm sure that there's other Vietnam veterans out there that are interested in what's taking place. whether, like you said, either their unit was in a certain location or whether they would like to go and be a part of the solution to the problem.
And be I would part be of happy to do that. It and would be an honor to do that.
We will make sure that we have that to hand out at that time for those families. Even the families might have information, even if there's not a Vietnam veteran that's alive in their family.
Exactly.
But it's an opportunity for them to have the opportunity to search.
Yeah.
And so,
well, Military Historical Tours is running tours back to Vietnam every year. Our August trip this year that I and my daughter had scheduled to take was closed down because Vietnam, again, is under lockdown. So it looks like next February is going to be the earliest time that we can go back.
And how many people usually go when you go?
It just depends. Sometimes there's only two or three, and sometimes there's 15 and 20. So I prefer the smaller tours. You know, you get to know your brother veterans and their family. A lot of them are taking their kids back now. And my plan. I'm going to take my daughter back.
Well, what an education process. And that's passing that on also. My dad served during World War II. And so I served in Guam where he served, and I served in Okinawa where he was at.
Wow.
And I served at Manila Bay where he served at. And he was gone by that time, but I wanted that connection. I wanted to see where he was at, where he served, where his ship was in port during World War II, because they were part of the liberation of the Philippine Islands. And so that was part of my intrinsic connection with my father after he was gone. We're going to close here in 30 seconds. Our time is already gone. Chuck, I want to say thank you for being here and being part. We kind of just gave everybody a little bit of a taste of what you're going to be talking about.
Terrific.
For our event. And thank you for your service once again. And thank you for being a veteran business. I mean, you hire veterans and everything else in our community.
Right.
You support the veterans in our community.
Right.
So I want to say thank you for being a leader in our community in that manner.
Terrific. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yes, you're very welcome. You've been listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll see you next time. Happy 4th of July.
Here's what I tell everyone. I was born by God's dear grace